It's a Palace love-in on this week's pod. They're one of seven teams who double in 34. Mateta's the man for Jules and Sam. We're tripling on Arsenal, doubling on Liverpool. And we don't forget the single game weekers, and neither should you. Hello, it's Thursday. It's that time again. It's FPL pod time where we all put our earplugs in because Jules beat us all again. Hey! I'm just going to get it out of the way early. Just before we've come on, we all do the pleasantries. We ask how our weeks have been. Jules didn't even bother with that this week. He just went straight inwards. Does anyone know how many points I got? How many did you get, Jules? Go on.
No, I was just not sure. I just wanted to double check because, you know, I thought I had 92, which is a really good week, to be fair. I just wanted to check, and maybe one of you two knew already, so I didn't have to look through the app and everything. But yeah, 92 points. A really, really good week. To be fair, the way I planned it, it just worked perfectly. Everything worked perfectly. Benny Blanco, my new signing.
Unbelievable.
What do you mean unbelievable? There was always a possibility that he would come off to get a bit of rest before Bayern Munich in the Champions League.
I'm so glad I didn't. Basically, I was a bit jammy, not in Jules' style, but I was going to get rid of Charlie Taylor this week for a second Arsenal defender. And then we had someone come and view our flat. And it went over. I couldn't decide. And then the flat viewing went over and it was 10 past 11 by the time I left. And I was so scared of if Arsenal got a clean sheet. What you talked about last week, Sam, where every time Arsenal get a clean sheet, if you have one defender, you think, yes, but then you actually realise it's no good because so many people have double. So I don't think I've ever celebrated. Sorry, Jules, I know you're an Arsenal fan and no offence to all Arsenal fans. I love the Arsenal story, but from an FPL point of view, I was happy to sacrifice my Gabriel clean sheet knowing you two had double Arsenal defence.
But at least Benny Blanco got some points, which is obviously, you know, not the case for Saliba and Gabriel.
Very true. Sam, we do put clips of this podcast out, but not the whole thing. I doubt this bit will get out. Sam is sitting there. She's not smiling, which is quite rare.
Fuming.
She's got her head in her hands and she hasn't moved from that position. Oh, no, she hasn't. Oh, now she's crossed her arms. She's folded her arms. She's fuming, Sam.
Honestly, how do you compete with it? Like, how do you get Leno off your bench for a 9-pointer? Like,
but because Kelleher, there was always a chance Kelleher might not play after the nightmare he had against Atalanta.
That's good management,
and
isn't it?
Alisson being back.
Don't
so
encourage
I said,
him, Cal.
That was Kelleher, the biggest dose of
otherwise, I've got Leno off the bench against this West Ham team that, as you know, I'm not a fan of David Moyes. It was all
really?
For all of you saying Jamie or whatever, the slander, you know, in French, we say that the poison from the snake doesn't reach the dove. That's it. I'm the dove and, you know, you're the snake.
Cool. Right, okay, wow. 2 minutes into this podcast, I'm going to calm this whole thing down. I'm going to restore some normality. I'm also going to do an apology. I should have probably done this first before allowing Jules to gloat. Last week, about 20 minutes after our pod record, we got a message in our WhatsApp saying, we didn't do captains. We completely forgot to do captains last week. That's on me. I'm meant to somehow keep this pod on track. And as I do most weeks, I dismally failed. So I hope that your captaincy went well, because if it did, we can't take credit for it. I went for Erling Haaland. Sam, Jules, who did you go for very quickly?
Same.
Yeah, me too.
Okay, well, hopefully everyone else did as well, because it was quite a good captain in the end. If you went for Cole Palmer, though, congratulations.
Well done.
Because what a week, Vim. The highest scoring player in an individual game with this season with 26 points. Only five players have ever got more than that in a single game week. I'm not going to read them all because probably quite a few of them against Watford. Oh yeah, Mo Salah was against Watford.
That's
in 2017-18 with 29 points, highest points ever in FPL. Cheers, Watford. Always cheering up my week. Elsewhere this week, of course, it's been a very busy week of European football. We're recording, as always, on a Thursday morning, so we've still got Europa League and Europa League Conference ties to come. Manchester City and Arsenal, though, out of the Champions League. Jules, very quickly, I know that'll be really disappointing. Obviously, you've got PSG through, so one good thing. Does this help us from an Arsenal point of view, FPL-wise?
Well, in a way, I guess yes, because there would be no rotation made anymore by Pep Guardiola or Mikel Arteta, and maybe not even from Jurgen Klopp if on Thursday night Liverpool don't go through either in the Europa League. So it would be just the league to focus on. For City, there's the FA Cup, obviously, this weekend, and that's why they don't play at the weekend. But apart from that, after that, there will be no who might play and who might not play, because on Wednesday or Tuesday, there's a Champions League semi-final coming up. That's, I guess, the only help that we could get, which is a pretty good one, because obviously Pep Roulette usually kicks in when there's a heavy schedule and he feels like he needs to rest players for Champions League or for something else. So at least it's only the league to focus on now.
Tell you what, you wouldn't want to be Chelsea playing them on Saturday, would you? I know they'll be tired, but they're going to be riled up, aren't they?
Definitely.
Now?
Definitely.
Yeah. Yeah. Look, are you going to be at that one, Jules?
I am. I'm on Sunday. Which one of the two games is Sunday?
This shows how busy this man is. He's going to a game, but he doesn't even know which one. You're going to Coventry versus
That's
Manchester
right.
United.
Are you there
Not
Saturday
Manchester,
or Sunday?
I'm there Saturday, Manchester City versus Chelsea. So we'll see how that one plays out. Okay, before we move on, our mini league, and I've just realised, Sam, we didn't actually touch upon your game week. We briefly touched upon mine, but we were so angry about Jules's. Do you want to fill the listeners in on how you went? Because it wasn't bad. It was good. We both had good weeks, right?
Had a really good week. Yeah, it was a 50k green arrow. Like, got 83. Really happy with that. My double Chelsea clean sheet came in. Who'd have thought it? I was really worried about that as well.
Is that the first time that's happened this season, maybe?
Probably, yeah. I mean, my goalkeeper situation, I picked the right one, right, with Petrovic and Pickford. So that was nice. Yeah, it was a good week. Anthony Gordon starting it off badly, though, against my own team. But hey, at least I had the FPL points from Spurs' absolute catastrophe that was on Saturday lunchtime. And that is why I said to you last week, Kels, that I don't captain anyone in the early kickoff. Because can you have imagined how bad my mood would have been? It was already bad when Spurs were getting absolutely hammered.
Imagine if you'd captained him. At least you could take him.
I know. And he went off before 60 minutes as well. So I was like, oh, raging. But anyway, yeah, good week. 83. Nice green arrow. I just can't help but be really angry with my green arrows when Jules has got jammy and got points.
What do you mean jammy? This has to stop.
I just feel like Sam's mood for the whole season has been pretty angry, to be honest, Jules. Because both of us somehow are still ahead of her in terms of the mini league. Jules did Porro to White, as we've discussed. No Kelleher. We got very lucky with Leno off the bench. Ben White substituted before Arsenal lost his clean sheet. You are back inside the top 5k now, Jules. I bet you know your exact rank, don't you?
Yeah, something like that. Because
I was in the top 5k, I would know exactly where I was.
Yeah, I posted it yesterday on social media with the team for the week. So I think it's 4,700, something like that.
Yeah, I had a good week. Slightly disappointing though, because I played Garnacho over Solanke. Garnacho did get the assist, but would have been better with Solanke's 7 points. I am back inside the top 100k. It feels like it's been a while, so nice to be back there. I didn't make any transfers, as mentioned before. Sam did Udogie to Gabrielle and got a green arrow and took 50k off her rank. Ian left Eze's 10 points on the bench. She had a little red arrow by 20,000 points. It does mean that Sam remains above Ian in the mini league. Notice that since you've gone back above him, he hasn't been on the pod once. Points difference between the two of you now is just 9 points, though. So that's a really interesting battle. Can I call it a basement battle? Is that a bit harsh? Yeah, it's a bit harsh, isn't it?
Wow. No, I'm joking.
But
Sam is still very tight between us. Despite me getting 3 points more than you this week, there is only 34 points between us. So I am still convinced at some point you're going to catch me, particularly because I've got these chips, which means I probably will go a little bit rogue at some point and it'll probably go wrong. Jules is way out in front, 2,103 points overall. I don't know, you're about 80 or 90 points ahead of me. We're not even looking at that anymore. In terms of the FPL FOB mini league that you guys are in with us, Stefan is top. Itai has dropped out of the top 10 for the first time in weeks. Congratulations to Nikolai. He climbs up to second. He got almost 100 points, 97 for him. Dubravka, White, Palmer, Gordon, Solanke, Haaland as captain, and Isak paying dividends. Stefan, though, is 8 points clear at the top. So really exciting at the top of that league as well. We'll keep you posted. But I'm not interested in 33 anymore because it's double game week 34. The one we have all been talking about what feels like forever. It's been scaring me because I've said I'm going to play my bench boost and I'm now not sure if I'm going to. This is what's going on. Wait. This is what's going on this game week then. The teams that are doubling are Liverpool, Arsenal, Everton, Sheffield United, Wolves, Palace and Bournemouth. The rest of the teams all play once, apart from Spurs, who don't have a fixture at all this week. Sam, probably quite grateful for that.
Yeah, I mean, they need a rest, clearly, after what we saw last week.
Don't reply. Let's move on. I'm going to try and keep order to this podcast. Sam, let's go back to the age-old conundrum. Managing a double, not getting too excited. But it's impossible not to, is it?
It's really hard, isn't it? Because whenever you look at a fixture schedule that's got two fixtures in it, you can't help but go, well, let's go really heavy on the doublers because there's the opportunity for the extra 90 minutes. That extra 90 minutes could potentially bring double the points returns or even greater than that. So it's difficult not to get really overexcited, but you also have to kind of manage that with, do I have my free hit chip? Do I have a wild card to play in the back of the double this week? Or am I trying to manage this double and the double in game week 37 without another chip in play at that point. And depending upon what your strategy is and where your chips are, you will have a different route to attacking this week.
I'm sorry. The pause there was because I was looking back at my team and I was going, maybe I should bench boost actually after all. It's really difficult though, because if I don't, it'll mean leaving the likes of Palmer on the bench, which I imagine a lot of people will be considering doing, but maybe double thinking themselves after Monday night. Jules, how many doublers have you currently got?
I think seven. I'm always a bit torn between, as Sam just rightly explained and very well explains, you want to get as many double game weaker that you can, really, because it's pretty obvious why. Without forgetting that somebody on one game, like we saw with Cole Palmer, for example, or others before, can also have a great game, two goals, an assist, a clean sheet. A lot of things can happen as well to get a 12, 15, even more points than that. So you have to be careful and balance. We always say, don't go too mad. If you have a free transfer and you can bring somebody who plays two games, do it. If you have two free transfers and you feel like they're the right player, so you bring a third Arsenal player or a third Liverpool player, if that's what you feel is right for your team, do it. If you start taking a -4, -8, just for the sake of bringing a player who has two games, okay, one, you can do -4 because obviously it could work out for you. More than one, I think a -8 and all of that, you start to make life too difficult for yourself. So you should have already a decent team, because we've been explaining that by now you would expect a lot of people to have played their wildcards, to have been ready for this game week 34 and the game week to come as well. So you should be in a good position to just be able to do a free transfer, maybe two, if you roll them over, maybe take a -4, but that's it, and have a decent team for this game week 34.
Sam, your team, how are you feeling about it?
I've got seven doublers and two free transfers. So in theory, I could have nine. But the issue is, one of them, as Jules just said, I'm happy to do because I've got a player that I'm happy to sell and I don't really want back afterwards. So that's fine.
Name and shame?
Well, Muniz from Fulham. I'm going to do him to a double game week forward. It makes perfect sense because he's my third. It's not that I don't appreciate him. Like, that sounds terrible, doesn't it? Like, he's great, but I just think that there's a better opportunity for a double game weeker in that slot. So that's fine. I'm happy to do that one. The issue that I then have is that I look at the other players that I've got in my team that I could transfer out. Jamal Lascelles, obviously, I can transfer out and I could bring in somebody that's got a double game week. But actually, the budget's really limited at that point because he's so cheap. So it's quite difficult to replace him with somebody that's got a double this week. I can replace him with somebody that's got a double in 37 quite easily. I could go for someone like Van Heek, or I could even go for Livramento at Newcastle, as we saw him come back at the weekend. So, and that would set me up for the second double game week in 37. But it doesn't really help me out for this week. And then the other players that I've got, the likes of Anthony Gordon, Cole Palmer, Son, Gusto, I don't want to sell any of those guys because I don't have a wild card to play next week. And my Chelsea and my Spurs assets obviously double in 35. So it makes no sense to take them out and then try and bring them back in again the week after. So I think I'm probably going to go through with eight double game weekers and then have some single game weekers in my team too, because we see it every time there's a double. The single game weekers often outperform their double game week counterparts.
Yeah, I've got seven doublers at the moment, two free transfers, and of course my wildcard, which will be active next week. So I'll probably go big on the doublers, but it's really tricky because at the moment, who am I going to sell? I've also got to think in mind, and this is what other people on their wildcard will also have to consider. If I'm going to sell the likes of Gusto or Cole Palmer, I've then got to buy them back next week. And I'm going to lose budget. So it's a really tricky dilemma as well. Sam, what if people are free hitting?
Free hitting is difficult this week because normally in a free hit double game week, you go all in. You just go all in on doublers and have a full 15 of doublers. But there are a couple of assets. The likes of Cole Palmer, it's a very difficult fixture, but it will be difficult, I think, for a lot of managers to not have him, given the form that he's been in. Erling Haaland, Phil Foden, they've got nice fixtures.
Sam, what's also coming in, sorry to interrupt, but what's also coming into my mind when it comes to Cole Palmer is Arsenal away. I've got my wild card. If I bring him back next week, I can do that. Mentioned the cost as well. Where I am in the world, everyone will have Cole Palmer. So if he does score something, that could negatively affect me, no?
I don't know that they will though, you know, Kel, because if you think about how many people will play their free hit chip this week, they probably won't have him on a free hit. If you are playing through this week. There'll be a lot of managers that decide to sell him. If you've got on Cole Palmer late and you don't have like the 0.5 tied up in him that like I do, then you could sell him and buy him back ahead of game week 35, particularly if you've got the wild card like you have. So there will be a lot of managers that do that. And there'll be a lot of other managers that bench him this week on the basis that he's got the toughest fixture and they want to play the double game week players. So I think that you have to kind of consider that. Like, I think with all of them, even the likes of Haaland, like if fit and available, he won't be as heavily owned or his EEO won't be as big as you think it will be because of the different strategies that people have in play, people benching, people selling on free hit, people selling because they're wildcarding the week after and it's easy to get back. Like for you, surely that would be a move that you'd make with a wildcard next week. You could sell Haaland this week, have three good forwards and then bring him back in again on your wildcard.
I paid 14.1 for Haaland. He's only 14.3 now, so there's only 0.1 million I'll lose. Looking at Cole Palmer though, I'm in the same boat as you. I bought him for 5.2. He now costs 6.2. So that just doesn't make any sense to get rid of him. My conundrum, not making this whole podcast about my team. At the moment, I've got Cole Palmer, Gusto and Taylor on my bench. I don't really want to bench boost that. That's why I'm coming in and saying, I don't know whether to wait for till 37. If managers are in the same situation as me, would you say 34 is better than 37 for a bench boost?
34 is probably easier for a bench boost in terms of potential for rotation. By the time we get to 37, there's much more of that towards the back end of the season. You've also got more teams doubling in 34 than you will have in 37. So an opportunity maybe for some differential picks in there as well. I don't think it really matters, though. I think it just depends on what your bench looks like. Now, for most people who've got a bench like yours, I'd say don't bench boost it. But because you've got the wild card to follow the week after, you could afford to change out players like
I have also got two transfers. So at the moment, I've got seven doublers. I like my seven doublers. And so if you look at my 11 at the moment, the ones that don't double are Garnacho, Sheffield United at home. So I'd want to play him. Dubravka, Palace away. I would potentially quite like to change that because my other goalkeeper is Turner, who doesn't play. And then Haaland and Palmer are my other two, or Haaland and Gordon, depending on which way I go. I could make Gusto and Taylor on my bench another Arsenal defender and another defender. I haven't looked at which one yet. All of a sudden, if my bench is then Palmer and two, an Arsenal defender and a slightly
maybe a Palace defender.
Then all of a sudden, actually, maybe. Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? Who knows what I'll do? It's enough about me. But
you'll
know
decide
not.
First thing before the deadline.
Yeah, I've got a little notepad like Jules has, not here right now, but I've got one that I have. I swear it gets smaller.
This one is nicer.
Oh, okay.
It's all about planning.
Yeah, well, it's a different one every week.
It's a different one every week.
Because I get in the bat, you know.
Yeah, no, I'll definitely do an Arsenal defender. It's just then whether I'll definitely do two transfers as well because I will wildcard. That is one thing that you have my word on for next week.
You're sure about that? You're not going to leave it to your game week 7?
Even I'm not stupid enough to leave it that low. Even I'm not. And that's, I know the bar is very low. What about Spurs and their blank, Sam? How are you navigating that?
Well, I've only got Sonny now because I sold you Doge for Gabriel last week. I think for me, I'm just going to hold him because I haven't got the wild card for the week after. I want some for the double in 35 and I want him again for the double in 37. So now he's going to stay. I think for most people, that will also affect a bench boost strategy. If you've got a Spurs asset and you want to hold them, then realistically, you can't bench boost in 34 because you'll have a player that doesn't feature at all. For me, I'm just going to leave him sat on the bench. I don't hate it. Like if you've got somebody in midfield that you really want to get, and you've got nothing else to do with your team and your team also looks really nice for 35, then I don't hate selling Son, bringing in, I don't know, an Eze or an Elise or Havertz or whoever it is that you want to go for 34 and then replacing him, that player again in 35 with Son or Brennan Johnson if you want to save some budget. Like I don't hate that strategy of the hokey cokey out of Spurs, but I just think you have to be mindful of, is it worth two transfers? Could you use those two transfers better? Particularly if you are also trying to set your team up for 35 double and a 37 double, like the transfers that you make, they're so important. And we have so few of them left now between now and the end of the season that you want to use it wisely. And I'm not sure that taking Spurs players in and out is actually that wise.
So Son's just going to go on your bench?
Yeah.
Yeah, makes a lot of sense. I imagine there'll be a lot of Son on people's benches this week. Yeah. Let's take a look at the teams that double in a little bit more detail. We're going to pick out the three best from each of the sides. We touched upon Arsenal and Liverpool last week, so we'll rattle through that. I'm actually wondering, obviously, I go back again, the caveat, we're recording this on Thursday morning before anything that could happen in their game tonight. But yeah, Arsenal and Liverpool, maybe things have changed since the Champions League exit for Arsenal in particular. Jules, best three from Arsenal. Give me three names.
I give you White, Saliba and Saka.
Oh, shock. It's the three that he's got. Sam.
Yeah.
I still think Gabriel's a better pick than White, even with the clean sheet saga last week. So, but I still think double defence is better. So Gabriel, Saliba, Saka.
Yeah, still on the double defence, Jules, with Arsenal?
Yeah, I think so. And especially now that things are getting a bit tougher, we have to be honest. It's the defeat against Bayern, the defeat against Villa, the draw against Bayern before that. So three games in a row without a win now. And I think that to go back to kind of winning ways, you need your solid defence. So I think you can expect them to go very solid away at Wolves on Saturday night. And then against Chelsea at home, have a controlling performance where, again, you kind of rely on your defence first and foremost to be very solid, not conceding. So I think it's wise to go with two Arsenal defenders.
Would you still treble up despite what's happened in the past week for Arsenal?
Yeah, definitely. They're going to respond. They will respond.
He says, praying for everything. No, I'm sure they will. Sam, what about Liverpool?
I said on off the bench this week that I won't be trebling up on Liverpool. And I still...
You said that last week as well, actually, didn't you, I think? Yeah, you're at least... Unlike Jules, you're at least consistent.
I'm consistent in my approach to Liverpool. I'm still not going to treble up on Liverpool. I've got Salah and Darwin already. I don't have an easy route to Robertson or Van Dijk or Trent. If I did, I might take a punt on one of them for this week, but I don't because the budget's just not there. So I think if you want to take a punt, then Robertson or Trent for me would be the way that I would lean, particularly with the Bradley out for 3 week news. That would make me more confident in Trent. But of course, they have got to play this evening against Atalanta. So let's see how they come through that one and what team starts it. But for me, I think two Liverpool is enough.
Jules, do you agree?
Yeah, same. Darwin, Salah, and you're all sorted.
Don't need a defender. So it's very much we're heavy on the attack with Liverpool in contrast to Arsenal.
Always Diaz is a possibility. I would not have all three of them, but we said it last week that it's more likely that you're going to get your points from those attacking returns than anything else in that team.
Okay, this one's tough off the back of a 6-0. Everton. Don't laugh. Give me a number, Jules.
I will give you...
Or name, even.
Not much, to be fair. I mean, you can go for Pickford.
Or be honest, if it's zero, say zero.
Yeah, no. I mean, I would not invest in any Everton player. They've got, obviously, the derby coming up, even at Goodison. Forest before that. You can go for Beto, but again, as a third forward option, quite cheap. I would not trust Everton for anything.
All right, don't make up advice that you don't believe in.
No, but it's true. But I think people will have the conversation. Can we invest in Everton? Who could we go for? Yeah. And really, outside of Pickford and maybe Beto, the rest, I'm not even sure if you go for a defender. I'm not sure really how they cannot concede goals in those two games. So at least if you want an Everton player because they've got that double and you fancy them, go for an attacking player like Beto, who I believe will start the two games and really hope for the best.
Basically, just put an Everton player in and pray. Sam?
I've got Pickford. And I'll be playing him, of course, because he's got two fixtures, whereas Petrovic has just got the Arsenal game. So I'll play Pickford and hope for some save points. We might get some. I don't know. Look, Beto was top for XG underachievers in game week 33. So, you know, could have returned. I worry about Everton. They had a lot of injuries again on Monday evening. That adds to their tale of woe. Pickford, and that's it really for me.
I don't think Pickford's a bad pick this week.
I think there's better goalkeeper picks. I think if you're free hitting, there's better goalkeeper options. But as somebody who set my team up for game week 34 and 37, the other thing is that in 37, when Petrovic had his double, and so I'm going to be playing him, Pickford's got Sheffield United, which is why I went for him, because I can bench boost him against Sheffield United in 37. It feels okay. So I don't think he's a terrible pick at all, but I do think that if you're free hitting, there are better goalkeepers out there that you could go with this week.
So basically that was a pathetic case put forward for Jordan Pickford. Other than that, we're saying no one from Everton. Bournemouth, bit more optimism there. I'm thinking there's going to be a lot of interest in Dominic Solanke this week, Sam.
Yeah, I don't have him and I can't really get him, not easily. I can get a Bournemouth midfielder, but that requires selling Cole Palmer or Anthony Gordon, and that just feels ridiculous. So I'm probably going to avoid. I think Solanke's a good pick. He's ever present, isn't he? He's always there. 11 attacking returns in 15 away matches this season. I think he is a fantastic pick if you've got him. Would I move for him over some of the other assets? I'm not entirely sure, given that Bournemouth don't double again after this one. But I think if you've got a route to him easily and the rest of your team is set up, and you're, and or if you're free hitting, then Dominic Solanke feels like a bit of a must have in a free hit team.
Is he your only interest in Bournemouth?
No, I had Cliver as my differential last week, and how that man did not get a double digit return, I have no idea. I was watching that game like, are you joking? This could have been an absolute haul for him. I think he's probably the standout differential in the Bournemouth team. He's got a goal or an assist in the last three matches for them. So I think he's a nice option. You could double up.
Jules, what about you? How many Bournemouth players would you go for?
Yeah, like Solanke, solid, Clover as well. And then you can go a few of, you still have Zabani, Kez, haven't
yep.
you?
Yep.
So there's a few options there. Kerkers, I think, had a really good game against United that could have a bit like Clover or should have returned more for him. And even Neto, I think Bournemouth with their doubles look like a really, again, if you want to invest in them, look like a good team to go for, because Solanke, Clover, Zabani, for example, is a nice, very nice treble from a Bournemouth point of view.
Okay, so potentially two or three from Bournemouth. What about, Jules, have you got Dominic Solanke quickly?
No, I don't. And,
and you won't be able to get to him?
No, okay. I don't think so.
Oh, I've got a little differential over you two. Crystal Palace, Sam, you already suggested maybe that I could bring in a Crystal Palace defender. Some of their attackers, particularly Mateta of late, been in brilliant form. But who would you go for? I wonder if Ian Irvine's listening to this. It must be painful for him this week. Gosh.
Yeah, I think Palace are the team that I'd go to. If I was free-hitting, I'd treble up on Palace this
really?
Time around.
Yeah,
I agree.
Yeah, I think that there's some really nice options here. You've obviously got Elise and Eze and whichever one that you fancy in the midfield. You've got Mateta up top. You can go whoever it is that you want to go for at the back. You can go for an Anderson if you want to. You've got Mitchell as well there. You've got the goalkeeper who offers a really nice opportunity for a cheap goalkeeper this week in Henderson. So yeah, I think we've got, there's like five or six players at Crystal Palace that you could argue you would want to have this week. So picking three of them makes sense. Now, at the moment, I do not have a single Crystal Palace player on my team. And that is where I think my weakness is going into game week 34. So I'll need to fix that with my transfers this week. But yeah, I think for me, my preferred three would be Eze, Mateta. And then one of the defenders, either Henderson or Anderson or Mitchell, but it would depend on team structure and how you set up.
Yeah, I think if I do a goalkeeper transfer, I'm going to bring in Henderson just because he's cheap as well. So
yeah,
quite a nice option. Jules, what about you? Would you? You were nodding along. It doesn't happen too often, but you were nodding along very much in agreement with Sam.
Yeah, because my two free transfers will be Mateta, Paris Born and Bred, of course, with Mateta, which is even more important. And Dean Henderson, not Paris Born and Bred, definitely not. But I think they're two really, really nice picks. They're cheap. They potentially can return very well again. I think the back three that Glasner is putting together now since he arrived, it start to get to the team. They defended really well against Liverpool. Of course, they could have continued and Liverpool had chances, but you could see exactly what they wanted to do, even if they got maybe a bit lucky or they rode their luck a bit. So I think it's getting there. It's two home fixtures and it's West Ham and Newcastle. I'm not saying they're easy game, but at least you are home. And for the third one, if you want to go, Eze looked in really good form and he will get you bonus points because he's so involved in everything and he's just so good. Olise, it's just the injury that I'm always a little bit fearful with him because he's quite fragile. But Olise is also a really nice differential pick.
Okay, so plenty of interest in Oliver Glasner's side after their big win last weekend. What about Wolves, Sam? Because, gosh, we need Ait Nouri to be fit, don't we? And we need Gary O'Neill to tell us the truth, please.
I was so upset with Gary O'Neill. I was like, what are you doing to me here? Because, Ait Nouri, yeah, we so want him to be fit. And I'm so happy with him in my team. Like, I really enjoy owning him. but he just needs to be fit. He's top four defenders for expected goal involvement in the last six matches, obviously outside of missing last week. He just looks really good. He's really attacking. There's an opportunity for clean sheets. He's holdable till the end of the season as well, which is the other thing that I really like about Aitnori, because you can bench him because he's nice and cheap. Yeah, I just hope he's fit. As long as he's fit, we're all good.
It will be.
Is he the only option from Wolves, Jules?
No, I think Cunha is coming back strongly. Mm. We saw that at the weekend where he was outstanding, I thought, for most of that game. So he's another possibility. I mean, again, you can't bring Eze and Olise and Cunha without having already really strong players in midfield. So you have to make choices and you have to sell probably a big name to bring those guys in if you want to. But Cunha, I think, is a decent one. Aitnori, obviously another Paris-born and bred super talent. He's a must-have, I think, in a double game week team.
Do you think that potentially there'll be less interest in Wolves because, Jules, of the likes of the players you've mentioned at Palace? If you have to make those decisions, Palace are just a bit more attractive this week.
Yeah, I think just slightly. And again, it's, you know, two home fixtures in a team that's just won away at Liverpool. So just imagine the confidence in the Palace dressing room right now. So I would advise, unless you want to go really for Aitnori, if you have to choose between some Palace assets or some Wolves assets, I would go Crystal Palace.
Okay, the other team that doubled in, Sheffield United. Now, a word on Sheffield United, and perhaps people will go, well, I'm not going to bring in any Sheffield United players, just to draw your attention to that if you are playing the new FPL Challenge game, the three promoted teams will have their points doubled. It's called Promoted Punt, like that name. So if you do bring in any Sheffield United players, they'll have two matches to get their points doubled. So even if they only get two in each match, they would still get 8 points. That wasn't me doing that maths, because, as you know, I wouldn't be able to do that maths. Sam wrote that down for me. Come on then, Sam.
It's difficult, I think, because like you just said about Wolves, there'll be a lot of managers that are looking at like Palace and Liverpool and Arsenal. And because of that, you will be like, it's difficult to then find space in your team for Sheffield United players. But Brereton Diaz, I think, is a decent option. 8 starts, 4 goals and an assist for him. Like, if you wanted a punt, like a real differential punt for this week, then I think you could go for him.
Jules?
No, just leave me alone, please, with Sheffield United.
Okay, let's go on to differential. Okay, let's go on to single game weekers, because as we know, it's the thing that I've probably said most on this podcast over the last few years, other than the fact that Jules is really jammy. In double game weeks, don't overlook the single game weekers. We're going to do it. But which single game weekers should we not overlook, Sam?
Well, Cole Palmer.
Anthony Gordon is the one that, for
it's
me.
It's an away game, though.
Yeah, that is true.
It's not so good away from home. Him? Don't know yet. I am so torn on what to do with my single game weekers. So obviously, Erling Haaland, like, slightly limped off. We'll have to keep an eye on that, because I want to play him against Brighton. I think if he's fit and available, you'd want to play him in that one. Phil Foden, if you have him, I think you'd arguably want to play him as well in that game against Brighton. Of course, the difficulty with Man City is that they've got the FA Cup game ahead of the game in midweek. So it's difficult to know exactly, well, it's always difficult to know what Pep's going to do, but it's more difficult this time to know what Pep's going to do, because we've got this FA Cup tie. It's going to be between Anthony Gordon and Cole Palmer for me. So it's, Both of them are in great form. Anthony Gordon's got the nicer fixture, but he's not so good away from home. Cole Palmer is just unbelievable, but it's an away game at Arsenal, who are going to be wanting some revenge after the Champions League stuff in midweek. So it's hard to call. I'm going to play single game weekers, though, because I just think that every time we bench these good single game weekers and we afterwards look at the double game, we can go, what were we thinking? Why did we take out these players that are in this fantastic form? So, yeah, for me, I'm probably going to end up, I'll probably end up playing Cole Palmer and Haaland. I think they'd be the two single game weekers I'll play.
Oh, I'm benching Anthony Gordon, but I do take your point about him being away from home.
The one thing with Palmer, I would just say, just to back up what Sam just said, he scores a lot of goals at home at Stamford Bridge. Away from home, he scored at Luton, he scored 1 hour Trafford, one in that crazy game at Tottenham, and that's it, really. So
it's on penalties, though.
And yeah, and penalties. But yeah, no, I get that. It's still a lot of home goals and not so much away goals. I'm just saying, and Chelsea have been better at home anyway this season, especially in the big games, than away from home. So this is just something that you need to keep in mind when you consider who to bench and who to start.
Of course, the other difficulty with Chelsea is, like with Manchester City, they play in the FA Cup before playing their game away. So what a week for Chelsea. They've got to play City and then Arsenal. So that's another thing to kind of maybe factor into your thinking too. Jules, what about you? Any other single game because you want to point out?
I mean, we've said already, I think the main one, I like Isak and Gordon at Newcastle simply because of the form that they are in and what they've been doing the last few weeks, and also the incentive from a Newcastle point of view to try to get as close as possible. I think they're going to run out of time and of points to try to bridge the gap with Spurs and Villa in a way. And same for Manchester United, really. But I think Isak and Gordon, if you're really looking at who can I bring that doesn't play twice, are your main guys.
Okay, well, it's that time of the weekend where these guys have to pick their differentials. So a review of last week, which was much nicer for me to read out because Sam, she's already mentioned him, Cliver against Manchester United got 7 points, but how on earth he didn't get more, we still don't know. Jules picked on Mbeumo against Sheffield United. I mean, he got a clean sheet point, Jules, so you got to take the small wins, I guess.
Exactly, yeah. But I also need to let Sam win sometimes.
Sam, how's the little head-to-head going? I don't know why I have to mean that by saying the little head-to-head. It's a huge head-to-head, of course.
It's massive, Kelly. This is the thing I can easily beat him in, though, so hopefully. I think there's 2 points in it now because I closed the gap this week. So
come on, Sam. Team Sam over here.
Oh, yes.
Not. I'm Team Sam on this, but I don't want you to do too well in fantasy because I don't want you to overtake me, but you can do well with your differentials.
Wow.
I'm joking. You're out for me as well. So
I'm always out for you.
Our rivalry is a bit more friendly than the one we've both got with Jules, isn't it? Okay, come on then. Right, so Sam, you said recently that, I can't believe you said this. Did you say it on the pod? No, I saw you say it on your Instagram. You do these little Q&As on your Instagram and someone said, I don't always watch every single one of these, by the way. I'm just sounding like your biggest fan now. Someone asked you why Jules always gets to go first on differentials. And you explained that it's because Jules comes armed with one and you have to do multiple because normally you have the same ones. And also, actually, didn't you want to go in Mbeumo last week?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Clivert was my backup. Yeah.
I saved you then. I made you win.
Yeah, he actually did in a way.
Oh, right. You're going to take credit, are you? Sounds about right.
Sam, who would you like to go with? Jules, you can...
No, it's fine.
I've got two today. So
Sam, go first then. You can go first.
Well, this is novel. She
doesn't know who to go for now. She doesn't know.
Because I've got one and a backup. Well, I'll go with the one that I'm gonna bring into my team then. So I'm going to go with Mateta. 6 returns since game week 23 and was actually really unlucky to blank against Liverpool. Apart from Beto, he was second for XG underachievers last week with 1.24. So he was unlucky not to get something in that game at Anfield. He's also got the most attempts on goal in the Palace team across the last 6 game weeks with 11. And he's top for XG at Palace in that same period with 3.12. So some really good opportunities there for him, and underlying stats are looking really nice. He's also got 2 home fixtures against West Ham and Newcastle. West Ham have kept just 1 clean sheet on the road this season, and Newcastle just the 2. And in those matches, they've conceded 33 and 32 goals respectively. And there's only 3 teams that have conceded more than West Ham on the road, and only 5 teams that have conceded more than Newcastle on the road. So hopefully some nice points returns for Mateta this week.
Let's just rename this podcast the Palace Podcast. So much love for them this week, Jules. Who are you going for?
Yeah, well, it's another Palace play. Mateta was one of my two, and the other one is Eze, of course. Still only by 5.3% of the managers, which you can understand, he's been injured. He's been a bit in and out. But he's super talented. It will cost you 6 million. He's returned in 3 of the last 6 games. So clearly in good form, whether it's a goal or an assist. He gets very often bonus points as well, as we said, because he's involved so much and he gets on the ball so much and he's usually very good in it. And 2 home games, like Sam just said, against teams that usually concede chances, certainly, and goals. So I think there's potential as well for Eze to have a nice return this week.
Okay, so Palace losing
week,
both
we?
Of their games and not scoring at all because we've gone so big on them. Right, guys, captains, I haven't forgotten. This is tough. Sam, who are you going for?
Salah, I think.
That is the least convincing tone
Kelly,
of voice I've heard.
I know, because I don't know. Like, I think it's going to depend on how Liverpool play against Atalanta, and because I also, there's Saka as well, who I think is an option too. Like, both of them are in my thoughts. I am seriously tempted to captain Mateta this week over both of them.
Do it, come on.
Jules is definitely going
Paris
for
the
most safe
option. Can't go wrong. You know Paris born and bred people.
Jules, who are you thinking of?
So good. I would bring Mateta in my team. I'm not sure if I'm
not going to put that brave much, enough. Brave not putting enough. That much faith in him.
Yeah. No, I mean he's my boy.
Doesn't like Paris born and bred people yeah. that much. You see,
you know how great Paris born and bred people are. I just imagine he doesn't return or not enough, and then Salah or Saka goes wild, and then people have captained him around me. I think that this would just be the
You've
reason.
You've got the fear.
Not the fear, but you know, I think you have to play this strategically think, at times. And what, like,
Sam,
you
I was going to say, think where he is in the, think where Jones is in the world.
I know, I get it,
as well.
Which is why I'm thinking about going yeah. different, because
you
it would be an opportunity.
See how much mature I've become now doing this show with you all season.
Mature?
Yeah, come on. Like, this is a mature choice, you know, to protect my rank. And,
it is sensible. This yeah, is a see? Sensible decision
Thank
from
you.
Jules. This is quite weird.
So Salah or Saka, yeah, for me. I know it's a bit obvious, but... I have to. I can't really take a gamble on someone else.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go for Salah as well. So that was quite boring, but at least we did it this week. Any other options, Sam? If you wanted to be differential, is Mateta, do you think, the best differential, if you like, this week?
Him, Eze. We're back to Palace again. I think there's options there. I think it's hard. It's hard with the others because there's nobody that really stands out in the other teams, but Eze and Mateta at Palace, maybe Cunha at Wolves, if you really wanted to be rogue and different, then maybe you could go for him. But I think it is going to be, I mean, there's Darwin as well. If Darwin doesn't if Darwin doesn't start against Atalanta, then maybe he's an option. I'm not sure I could actually physically do it. Like, I'm not sure my nerves would take having captained Darwin Nunes though. And like Jules says, there's Solanke too, who is a decent pick.
It'll be interesting actually, because Haaland will probably be pretty lowly captain this week, won't he, Jules? Because single game week, and as we've mentioned, he's got the FA Cup semi-final before they play in the league.
Before Brighton, which again, the problem is we can't wait for the FA Cup game to see. This is the beauty, I think, of this kind of week. So you'd have to trust your gut feelings with Haaland, because he might not play even against Brighton. Neither could Foden. Although I think they will play both the FA Cup, and if they don't get injured or anything like that, they will play in the league. Pep can't rotate too much now. They have to go. They're in the lead. They've got the title to win. It's theirs to win, really. So I just don't think he can go to Brighton without Haaland or Foden. He will have to go with his strongest team. So I think if he was to rotate, it might be for the FA Cup semi-final more than for the Brighton league game in midweek next week. So I think you're probably safe, but you just never know when it's that kind of scenario.
Okay, it feels almost pointless to ask pretty much my final question on this podcast, because I feel like there is still, as we've seen, a lot of football to be played before we make our final decisions on what to do with transfers. But Sam, what are your early thoughts?
I'm going to bring Mateta in. Mateta for Muniz, that's happening.
Is that that's not going to change?
No, that's definitely happening. I don't know. I've seemed to have got a bit of a love affair going with Mateta this week. So he's got to come in. The other transfer, I just don't know. I don't know what I'm going to do with it. I don't know whether to go bold and sell Gordon for Eze. And then do the reverse of that the week after. I don't know whether to be sensible and use the transfer on Lascelles and fix that problem, or whether to roll that transfer into next week and just make one. Like, I'm a bit all over the place, but Mateta is 100% coming in.
Jules, Palace all the way.
Yeah, Mateta and Henderson for me, for Muniz and for Kelleher.
Perfect. Well, that was nice and quick. And Jules, are you likely to change your mind on that?
No. This is all good. I mean, I've prepared. I've worked so hard on this planning, vision, talent, you know, so this is the way it's going to be this week again.
All right, well, that is where we'll leave it on Jules's mantra for the season. Guys, have a great weekend. Jules, unfortunately, won't be seeing you at Wembley. I'm guessing, will you be going to the Arsenal game on Saturday night? Is that where you'll be on Saturday?
No, it's away at Wolves. I would like to come, but it's late in the evening. I won't be able to.
You're not having a day off?
I am having a day off-ish.
Oh my God.
Off-ish.
No, he's doing 17 pods from home, probably.
Yeah, I've got the radio show in France, certainly. And then I've got the ESPN show in the evening.
So not a day off.
Sorry,
then.
That is not a day off.
No. Not really. But...
Right. Anyway, on that note, Sam, hope you have a good weekend. No Spurs to put you through any pain this weekend? Just maybe your boys' team instead?
They've been doing really well lately, bless them. They've been doing really well. No, I'm at Sky on Saturday morning, and then no Spurs. So I just sit and, you know, feel sad that I hate it when Spurs don't play. I hate blanks for Spurs. I'd rather them play after last week's disaster. Yeah, yeah. We need to bounce back quickly, but yeah, no, just Sky for me this weekend.
Okay, so you'll be on there just before the deadline if you want any late tips. If you see Sam looking at her phone on air, it's because
it'll be you.
A reminder once again, if you haven't joined by now, I don't know what you're doing, but our FPL Pod mini league code is IB3WLK. Your deadline for double game week 34 is 1:30 p.m. so a little bit later. That's 90 minutes ahead of the 2:30 p.m. kickoffs between Luton and Brentford and Sheffield United and Burnley. Don't worry, Sam, your phone won't be buzzing. I've just realised it's a slightly later deadline. The Fantasy Show will be back on Friday. People probably don't care, but I'm going to be back on there.
Woohoo!
Nice. Ian's done a lovely job sitting on the sofa for me, but I'll be back with Praz on Friday. Really looking forward to that. And then Az and Oscar will be back on Monday with Off the Bench to review the opening 7 fixtures. And then we'll be there on Thursday to round off all the rest of it and look ahead to double game week 35, which is another double for Chelsea and Spurs. As always, guys, thanks for listening and the very best of luck to everyone except Jules.